Good evening, church. Glad you could all be with us tonight for our Sunday night service. And it's been a beautiful day today. I hope everyone had a great day in the Lord today. We had a really good service this morning. And let's grab our hymnals and sing a song. Let's stand and sing number 447, Trust and Obey. 447.
Ken, Sister Nancy, and thank you for all of you coming tonight. The singing this morning was awesome, the praise team and Sister Caitlin and Sister Nancy. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we get going tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you once again for allowing us to come together in your name for your glory. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, Lord, and I just pray that everything we do tonight will be to the glory of Jesus Christ so that the Father may be made much of. And God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you breathe through here, speak to our hearts, Heavenly Father, Lord, and let it be like the seed that grew roots and produced fruit. God, we want to be fruit bearers for the kingdom and for the name and sake of Jesus. And it's in that name I pray. Amen and amen. It's good to see all of you again tonight. I was here 30 minutes early, sitting upstairs, waiting on church to start. I tell you what, it's good to be back in church and with the family of God. I told you before that tonight we'll be in the book of Isaiah chapter 9. It'll kindly be a springboard I do have study guides up here again for tonight's lesson. And yeah, they're not a very intricate study guide. You don't have to do much thinking. But in learning, I've been told that if you see it, say it, and write it, then you have a better chance of retaining the scripture. And so, if nothing else, this guide kindly lets you see it and hear it, and then also for at least a little bit, you're writing it, so it'll be also a part of muscle memory as well. So, but it is good to be back in the church tonight. We will be in Isaiah chapter 9. It's going to be a springboard. I gave you the study guide too, so you didn't have to run all over the Bible, because we're going to be going from Old Testament to New Testament, Old Testament to New Testament. And so, but if you're, again, that'll be Isaiah chapter 9. But if you're with us on Facebook or in the parking lot or you're in service tonight, it's not by chance or accident that God has you here. And he has brought us together for the singular purpose of making much of his son, Jesus Christ. And so the more I study, the closer I get to the Lord, I'm thankful that he is in control. You know, I don't have any control, really. We can con ourselves into thinking that we've got at least a little bit of control. But praise God, he has total control. He's sovereign, and it is our, not only our duty, but to our benefit when we surrender and just allow him to be Lord of our lives. In the way of Thanksgiving, yesterday I was able to go and to be a part of the second graduation up at Recovery Through Christ. And Brother Jack is doing a good work up there. Nate was the one that graduated yesterday. He's from North Carolina, but he's got him a job in Pennington Gap, got him a place. Somebody has donated a car to him, and he's just making a new life for the glory of the Lord in the mountains. Mountain hick town is what he said. So praise God. I'm glad to be from a hick town. I am. And then also, again, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord with God's people. I tell you, I don't know how you call it a crutch, whatever you want to call it. I don't know how people make it without Jesus Christ, number one, but also the support of the family of God. Do we have any other words of praise and thanksgiving before we get to our prayer needs? Any words of praise or thanksgiving? And I've been thinking, remember I challenged you this morning that for Christmas, the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, if you'll write it up, well, probably the Sunday before Christmas, after the cantata et, I'll probably give opportunity that so that you can come up here and just offer up a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord as a Christmas gift, if that's what he leads you to do. All righty. Any other words of praise or thanksgiving tonight?
Thank God for allowing me to be here. Thank you for who he is.
Amen. Amen. Thankful my wife is doing better today than she was yesterday. But I tell you, we live in a weird, weird world, strange times. Anyone else a word of praise or thanksgiving?
I say a word of praise for Jeanette.
Mm-hmm.
She's been in the hospital for months.
Mm-hmm.
And she's now been moved out to a safe place.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? In the way of prayer needs, number one, we always want to remember the lost. Those that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we want to pray for those that are backslidden. Most people don't jump off the boat into the deep end. Usually it's gradual that you get deeper and deeper and deeper out, like at the beach, especially if there's a little bit of pullback a little bit of riptide. It'll take you, like sin, it'll take you further than you want to go and keep you there longer than you want to be there. We want to pray for marriages. God willing, we'll nail it down in council meeting afterwards. But in February, the 25th and the 26th, we'll be having a marriage conference. And it'll be that Friday night and that Saturday morning, and you don't have to be married to come. And then also two other churches probably will be participating or will be invited to participate. God willing, we'll be providing a meal on that Friday night and then a breakfast at, you know, Continental, right? You give them some milk and an orange and a bowl of cereal. That's a good Continental breakfast right there, ain't it? And a muffin, that's right, some type of muffin, a banana, or a croissant. You give them a croissant or a bagel or something. We're getting pricey now. We ain't getting no croissants and bagels. You get an oatmeal muffin. You get an oatmeal muffin, a little cinnamon sprinkled on top of it. That's about it. No, but be praying about that. Brother Matt and Sister Holly Sexton will kindly be our tour guides as we look at a godly marriage and how to help strengthen the marriage. I told somebody that's the good thing about what COVID's going on. Me and Amy's been together 10 to 16 days by ourselves, and we still like each other and we still enjoy each other. You hear that? People's youngins graduating, next thing you know, they get a divorce. I mean, they get them out of the house and don't know each other no more, you know. The depressed, we're in that type of season. And but also, you know, it doesn't have to be seasonal. It's a lot of people deal with bipolar issues. They deal with anxiety, different things like that. And praise God, it's as real as other type of physical injuries you may have. And then we want to pray for our nation. When he told us he'd build it back better, we didn't know he was going to tear it all down first, did we? That's where we at. We need to be praying for our nation and praying for our leaders. But praise God, God's in control. We do want to pray for Sister Jeanette Carter. I've not talked with her, but I've talked with Brother, either talked to or text Brother Don Carter every day. And she's got in a routine now up at the rehab facility. But he does believe that this is going to be a drawn out healing and that they need a lot of prayer. And he hurt his knee. So, and then Brother Joe Carter got bit by a dog and he's got stitches in his hand. Brother Tommy Mullins is healing from his surgery, a hernia. And then Sister Phyllis Baker is getting ready for her procedure, which will be on the 16th, I do believe. Brother Don and Sister Wilma Daniels, this is Sister Melissa's mom and daddy, and then also her brother's house burnt down. And so we really want to be praying for her. Miss Melanie Lester and Brother Josh. Brother Josh is having some dizzy issues tonight. And Brother Pam and Sister Jasper, Lily Skelton and Robin, Burl Jennings, the COVID sick. I don't know if any of you know, have heard of the Christian leaders, Joni and Marcus Lamb, but Marcus Lamb died this past week from COVID. And then we want to pray for Brother Danny as he deals with retention of water and swelling, and pray that God just take that. Michelle and Aaron Robbins, Mary Jane Carter, Delbert and Martha Gillette, Susan Lassiter, David Carter, Michael Storms, Karen McDavid, Gerald Newton, Gene Rose, Charlie Taylor, John, Stephanie, and Brenda Stenicky, Ivan Scott and family, Lisa Estep, Betty Carter, Kathy Baldwin, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Doran, Larry Tomlinson, Larry Spears, Deborah Rames, Mickey O'Neill, Rick Swanson, Kyle Lawson, Mike Brown, Kathy Smiley, Penny Horton, Brenda Allen, Junior Stidham, Ronnie Owens, Chuck Kearney, Randy Meeks, Lorraine Davis, Brandon Johnson, Terry Biller, Debbie Starnes, Ashley Clark, Larry Bledsoe, Gary and Brandy CC, Margaret Williams, Jesse Bull, Pam Savarsky, Stanley and Sandy Williams, Jason Knight, Steve Smith, Deborah Horton, Kevin Tigner, Heather Markham, Helen Graham, Betty McCorkle, Susie Drawdery, Maggie Statzer, Teresa Holden, Larry Rasnick, Sister Jairus Holden, Susie Hill, Bridget Barnes, Roger and Virginia Eden, Daryl Wade, John Wade, Daryl Hurd, John Wade, Cindy Osborne, Denny Lemon, C. Edmonds, Charlene Lofton, Shannon Haynes, Laura Evans with Opal and Grayson, Gladys and Day T. Jones, Billy Joe and Sandra Robbins, Rhea Osborne, Justin Bowen, Wilma Jacobs, Doris Williams and family, Sister Lillian Baldwin and family, Ethan Bowen, Paul Stoyer and Tommy Stoyer, Bradley Bowen, Daisy Richards, Dakota McQueen, Sandy Knight, Daniel Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Hodge, David and Felicia Cantrell, Mr. Pippin, Sabrina and Lance Stoller, Tommy and Alma Mullins, Haley Webb, Sean and Don Garinetti, Carol Dishner, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Jerry Flannery, Nicholas Patrick, Mary Snodgrass, Cecilia and Frank Pennington Sr., Lottie Johnson, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten and family, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Liza Fletcher, Helen Bowen, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBlanc, John and Carmine Shoup, friends in Georgia, Randy Sheffield, John Connor, and then, you know, Daddy, he specifically mentioned a young mother, and I can't remember her name, but God knows her name. And then there's some others down there in Georgia we ask you to pray for, like my brother and my cousin. Duffield Fire and Rescue, all our military, the center over in the village, the nursing home there, the nursing home over in John Pennington and behind the hospital. Any other prayer needs tonight? Yes, Sister Donna?
Sally Grady, she has a
pulled groin
muscle.
Connor, C-O-N-N,
Collier.
I know as we were, me and Amy's going through the COVID, I was thinking about Brother Jay and Sister Ruby Kick. They're 93, 92 years old and went through the COVID. They tougher than I am. Sister Jeanette, tougher than I am. My goodness. Anybody else? Yes, Sister Teresa?
Alan Cobb
family. Alan Cobb. Sister Sherry?
Lorraine Davis and Wendy
Hurtbacker. Do continue to pray for Amy. She's not had a fever. She's quarantined until Wednesday, and then we're going to burn the house down and build another one. No. but also pray for Dwight Stiles, her grandfather. He tested positive yesterday. So now all I can say is I'm part of the herd now. But. Anyone else?
Robert Phillips.
Robert Phillips. Brother Osis, I'm going to ask you if you would begin to make your way up here to lead us in our prayer tonight. Anyone else? Any other prayer needs? I want to continue to pray for Sister Rowena Black. And pray for those, not only those that's lost loved ones this year, but those that are going through the holidays without their loved ones. You know, it's, you never get over it. You learn how to cope, but this time of year is very difficult on people. So, Brother Otis, and I remind you, the altar is open. You don't have to be invited to come make use of the altar.
Before I pray, I have a trivia question. I shared this with the pastor this morning. I heard a Christmas carol yesterday on coming home from Knoxville last night, actually. And in that Christmas carol, it revealed to me who was the first missionary to carry the gospel. Does anybody know?
Mary.
Who?
Mary.
Good job, Ken. Mary. She did what God asked. She conceived. She bore the child and delivered the message of Christmas, delivered the child. So Mary was the first carrier of the gospel. So you know what? We're required as Christians to do the same thing, to witness to others, tell others about Jesus. Some will tell you they don't want to hear it. That's okay. I said the same thing probably one time in my life. But you know what? I'm glad I heard him. Glad I heard him speak to my heart. And I know you are too. just remember that in this season we're celebrating, we're still required to be like Jesus. And that's a big task. But let's pray and ask God's blessing on the service. Father, we come tonight just thanking you for being our Lord and our Savior, our counselor, our friend, our guide, and God, our judge, to give us all justice. If we got what we deserve hell. But you gave us a ticket out of hell by accepting you as our Lord and our Savior. We thank you, God, for the plan of salvation. We know it came from you, for who else could have thought of such a way to bring a child into on the earth, to live as a man, but be God, and yet fulfill all the requirements that you required of him, even unto death. And we thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins, my sins. And we just thank you, Lord, for being a Savior that's always with us. You said you, when you left to return to the Father, that you give us a comforter. And that comforter is the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us every day, for guiding our lives and challenging us to be what we need to be as Christians, as church members, as brothers and sisters. We're not perfect, but we don't have to be perfect. For you gave us a perfect Savior, God, a perfect Savior that sustains us and keeps us and goes between us in sin and forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we thank you for that. We thank you for our church family, our church members. We thank you for our pastor and his family. We thank you for a pastor that's willing to preach the word and challenge us to be what the word says. And we thank you for that. Again, we just pray that you be with this service tonight. We thank you for hearing our prayers. And we thank you, Lord, for making us eligible to even pray in your name. For it's in your name we say these words. In Jesus, the Almighty name, we ask you to continue to bless us and watch over us. Amen.
As you turn into Isaiah chapter 9, I've said this before, but I want to say it again. The Lord put it on my heart as we were praying. In the Old Testament, if you remember when the children of Israel, the Hebrews, they weren't yet the children of Israel as we know them. They were slaves, but they were God's people. And if you remember, as they come upon the Red Sea, we'll be in Isaiah chapter 9. God brought the cloud as they were camping one night. Pharaoh and his army was coming after them. And they were basically there at the edge of the Red Sea. And you remember the pillar and the cloud that led them by day and the fire that led them by night. The Bible says that that came down in between Pharaoh's army and the children of Israel. And praise God, if you know Jesus Christ, he stands between you and your past just like the cloud stood between God's children and their past trying to come and against them. There is there now for no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And may God add the blessing to the reading of his scripture. Now, I told you this morning as we were finishing up Nehemiah and we were looking at going from surrender to God into a place of celebration of our relationship with God and who he is. As we looked at that, I struggled this week about the idea of it being December, the first Sunday in December, and there are expectations that go along with Christmas, just like Easter, Father's Day, Mother's Day, and other quote-unquote type holidays. Really, the only holidays, the root word is holy days, And really, as believers, our main two holy days would be the birth of Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there's kind of a push, you know, to teach from certain scripture. But I think that if we begin our Christmas season recognizing that there is celebration found in the sacrifices we studied this morning, the sacrifice spiritually, the sacrifice of self and sin, the sacrifice physically, that we live our lives for Him, not our own will but His, the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. It's not all an emotional and you get whipped up into a lather and then you just can't help it, but there's a structure to worship. There's a structure to praise. There's a structure to thanksgiving. And it's not 100% spontaneous. Matter of fact, I'd say it's more 90% structured or biblically, and then 10% spontaneous. And then just the simply of the sacrifice of good and goodness and godliness, that we do good to those that are around us. I don't think there's any of those that would not please our Savior as a birthday present. But as we think about it tonight, I want us to look at some of those scriptures, some of those Christmas-themed scriptures. And I want to tell the ladies that have decorated so good, and maybe there was a man involved, I don't know, but the decorations look good. We were camped out for all of Thanksgiving, and I just really didn't feel like Christmas until I got in the church this week and was able to be a part of it. And so tonight I want us to look at some of the prophecies that about the birth of the Messiah, and then I want us to see the fulfillment of those prophecies. And you say, preacher, why would you do that? Well, one, repetition is good. You know, repetition, like when you're working out physically, do you lift the bar one time, set it down, and come back tomorrow? No, you repeat the action 10 times, or ever how many reps you do, and then you come back tomorrow and you do this. And spiritually, this the same is true. We take the precepts and the truth of God's word. We continuously supply them into our brain so that our thinking might be transformed into the thinking of God. And then what we think will be lived out in our life. So we practice what we've put in. But I want you to think about this. As we celebrate Christmas, we look back at the birth of the Messiah and the promise that He fulfilled when He came. But also we look ahead to the second coming of the Messiah. But as we celebrate Christmas, we've got to recognize that long before Jesus ever came, the hope of the Messiah was in the people of Israel. They had the hope of the coming king. Now, they thought it would be a physical king. But for thousands of years before Jesus came, they were looking for the Messiah. If you look up King David, his time, he was born around 1038 B.C. So that means that the prophecy of David, coming from the line of David, was still 1,000 years before it was fulfilled when the promise of him coming through the lineage of David. And so we who live in the New Testament have something in common with those that live in the whole Old Testament. And what is that? We have the hope of Christmas. We have the hope of the Christ that promised to save His people from their sins. And so tonight, let's begin. I've got about 8 of them. There are a few more that I know of, and I might mention them at the end. But the first one, the one that we'll look at tonight, and if you've got something on your heart as we go through these, just speak and raise your hand or speak out. I'm a preacher and I try to be a teacher sometimes, okay? But the first thing is that Messiah would be filled with the power of God. The Messiah, not only would He be filled with the power of God, but He is God. And we look at the book of Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 where it says, "For unto us," Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, yes. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And again, we see the prophecy being fulfilled, or the prophecy being declared that he was coming as a king. Praise God, when Jesus comes back again, when he came the first time, he came as a babe and in the form of a carpenter slash servant. But when he comes back again, he's going to come back as a king. Now, not just any king, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when he comes back, he will rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And then the nations will rise up against him and with him and the nation of Israel. And with the word of his mouth, he will speak the word and he will conquer all of those that rise up against him. Now, how is that going to look and the way it's going to all work out? I ain't got a clue. I don't have to worry about how it's going to work out. Now, I can have my theories and I can have my thoughts, but he's going to do it. But he said in Isaiah, the promise is of that coming king. We see the fulfillment in Luke chapter 2. The king, James says that the angel declared this, and then he was surrounded by a heavenly host that saying, glory to God in the highest. You remember that? And peace and goodwill on earth. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 through 14. Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace and goodwill on earth. There's another one, and I didn't think that this would fit in with the birth of Jesus, but in the book of Isaiah, and you can just, this is a freebie, okay? In the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 6, it says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and freedom to the prisoners. Well, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is in Nazareth and he goes into a synagogue one day. And, you know, they had prescribed readings. And so he would ask them for a specific scroll and they would go back and get the scroll. And Jesus rolled that scroll out. And in Luke chapter 14, verse 16, it says, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him and unrolled the scroll. And he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives and to recover the sight of the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then after Jesus read the scroll, do you remember what he did? He rolled the scroll up, and what did he say? He said, today this has been fulfilled in your ears. People say he never claimed to be God. He never claimed to be the Messiah. He did. He did. And so we see the fulfillment of that scripture. You say, Brian, again, why are you doing it? Because if Jesus was faithful in fulfilling the prophecies of his birth, his first coming, then we can hold tightly to the promises of his second coming, that what he says he will do. And the first thing we see, the prophecy here is that the Messiah would be filled with the power of God. What an awesome thought it is that our Creator chose to enter his creation. Isn't that awesome? And he's so big. He's bigger than all of time, all of history, all of eternity. He's bigger than all of what's went on the earth. But yet he said, I'm going to enter into it. Why? Because I love humanity. I love this specific creation. The Bible says that he created us in his very image and then wouldn't leave us to our own demise. That is awesome. That is awesome. And that he changes us who we are in our nature. In our nature. The second one is that the Messiah would be born to a virgin. The second one is that the Messiah would be born to a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10 and following. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Ahaz. Now remember, Ahaz was a king of the southern kingdom of Judah. And the Lord spake to him and said, ask for a sign of me. Ask it either in depth or in height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And the Lord said, hear me now, O house of David. It is a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord said, the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called what? Emmanuel, or God with us. Now, if you remember what's happening here, Jerusalem is under siege by another nation. And Ahaz has basically come to his wit's end, and he doesn't know what to do, but he prays to God, and God says, I'm going to deliver you. And so Ahaz says, well, how am I going to know? And God says, well, ask me for a sign. And Ahaz says, well, I ain't going to ask you for no sign. And God said, all right, here's your sign. My Messiah will come, and he will be born of a virgin. And what we've got to remember is this. This was not done in the dark, okay? It was not hidden. The Jewish priest knew these prophecies. The Levites knew these prophecies. I bet you Joseph and Mary knew these prophecies. But the problem is that the Messiah did not come the way they wanted him to come. Who do you think was working with Herod when the wise men came and said, we've seen his star in the east? It was Jewish priest that was telling Herod. Herod was probably like, well, how do they know where this new king is coming from? They knew. They knew. Listen, in Matthew, we see the fulfillment. As the angel speaks to Joseph, he says almost exactly what Gabriel said to Mary over in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife, because for what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophets. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So we see that the Messiah will be filled with the power of God. Two, the Messiah will be born of a virgin. Any thoughts about those before we move to the next one? The third one is that the Messiah will be born of the lineage of David. The Messiah will be born of the lineage of David. And as we've already talked about over in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, this is almost 950, 1,000 years before Christ would come. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, but my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever, according to all the words and according to this vision. So did Nathan speak unto David. You remember Nathan is the one who told him the parable of the one having a lot of sheep, And then the poor man who only had one sheep, and then the man that had a lot of sheep came and took the poor man's one sheep. And David got mad, and he said, we need to do something about that. And Nathan pointed his finger at him and said, you're the man. You're the one. You have all the women of Jerusalem you could pick from, but you killed Uriah for Bathsheba. That's the same prophet that prophesied that your kingdom will be established forever in the coming of the Messiah. Ain't it awesome how God can correct us, but then also bless us? He's an awesome God. And this is fulfilled over in the book of Matthew, and it says, and Jesse's father, King David, David fathered Solomon by Uriah's wife. That's in the lineage. In chapter 1, if you remember, there's a whole bunch of names. You don't want to hear me try to pronounce them, so go read them yourself. But that's not all. That's not all of the tree or the lineage. Like I said before, when Jesus comes again, he's not going to be the humble carpenter. He's going to be the conquering king. Number 4, Messiah will be born where? Messiah will be born in Bethlehem again. Remember, they had these prophecies at that time over in the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrath, thou though be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall he, capital H, come forth unto me, that is the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Now, he said that his goings forth, or his presiding over, or his being has been what? From old. He is everlasting. And we see that. Remember the fourth man walking in the fire? Remember who Jacob, the con man, wrestled with all night long? And then that was a pre-incarnate Christ. That was Jesus before he had the label of Jesus on him. He was still God. And that's fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2, verse 5 and following. In Bethlehem of Judah, they told him, because this is what was written by the prophets. You know who they're talking to there? Herod. They're telling Herod. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, because out of you came a leader who will shepherd my people Israel. So we know that they knew what line the Messiah was going to come out of, right? They knew what sign. They knew that he would be born of a virgin. They knew that he would be from the lineage of David. All this was made evident to them at that time. And then the next one is that the Messiah would have to flee to Egypt. The Messiah would have to flee to Egypt. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. This is because of the command of Herod. Remember? And remember, when the wise men came through, and they said, we'll go on to that, but we'll hold on to that. But they knew something had happened. And when Herod made the command, his command was, you see it in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. Remember, he said, any male child born from what age? Two. So Jesus was a toddler by the time the wise men, the magi, came to him. Now, we include it because it's included in the story, or in the, not like story, the account of the birth of Jesus Christ. But we see the flight to Egypt, the Messiah's flight to Egypt, was fulfilled when Joseph and Mary were warned in a dream. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. After they were gone, an angel, meaning the magi, after they were gone, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. So Joseph got up, took the child and Mary during the night, and escaped to Egypt, and he stayed there until Herod's death, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I have called my son. Now, isn't that awesome? Yeah, I mean, and praise God, as we consider, I'm going to tell you what, any moment Jesus could return. Any moment. Any thoughts on the ones we've looked at? Okay, number six, the Messiah's arrival would be followed by great mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. The Messiah's arrival would be followed by great mourning. Over in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15, it is prophesied that this is what the Lord says, a voice heard in Ramah, a lament with bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Basically, that's a massacre. They were massacring any child, male child below 2 years old. And I just got to say, thank God for what's happening in the Capitol as they do another consideration of Roe versus Wade. I mean, you know, they say we ought to be like Europe and stuff like that. And many, many of the European nations, abortion is illegal after the 12th week. And even before you have it, you have to be approved of, and it has to be on special circumstances, and there has to be counseling. And we're the Christian nation. pagan, ungodly nations recognize the value of a child, and we don't. He did. I challenge you. Look up Switzerland, the Netherlands, Germany. Look up their abortion laws, and it will blow you away that they are more conservative than America. Look up France. It's amazing. But we see that there was a prophecy that there would be tears shed in Bethlehem, Ramah, due to the loss of the children. And in Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 through 18, then when he saw that he was mocked, Herod, mocked by the wise men, he was exceedingly angry and sent forth and slew the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had inquired of the wise men. See, this wasn't done in the shadows and in the dark. Pray for me, I'm cramping in my back. Matthew 2:17. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah there is a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." And remember, Rachel is Jacob's wife, Israel, and it was from her loin that a few of the tribes of Israel came. Any thoughts on the Messiah's arrival being followed by great mourning? Great mourning. I tell you what, the value that a nation puts on the unborn and on the elderly tells you a lot about the soul of that nation. It does. God values the life. He values the child. Remember, he said, "Don't hold them back. Let them come. I'm going to put them up on my knee." But he also values the elderly as well, the wisdom. They're to be respected according to Scripture. If nothing else, that they made it that long. You got to be tough to get old, don't you? You got to be good. Yeah, getting old ain't for a wimp. I heard somebody say that one time. Getting old ain't for no wimp. All right, the Messiah's arrival was announced by a star. Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. "I see him, but not now. I perceive him, but not near. A star will come from Jacob, and a scepter will arise from Israel. He will smash the forehead of Moab and strike down the Shiites." But notice what? A star will come from Jacob. Again, remember, Jacob and Rachel. What was Jacob's other wife's name? Leah. Remember? Laban conned him. He wanted to marry Rachel, and he worked for 7 years. Got married, and then realized it was Leah. I don't know how that happened. They must have had the hijabs on or whatever those things they are. But we see that fulfilled, and how awesome is it that the heavens declared the arrival of the Messiah? Not just angels, but creation. And you know, it tells us in the book of Romans chapter 1 that creation testifies to the Godhead. But Matthew chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, it says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who had been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" You see, the advisors to Herod, all this stuff they were aware of. All of it they were aware of. The Messiah, any thoughts on that? That the Messiah's birth would be announced by a star? Go ahead, Brother Otis.
The wise men.
Mm-hmm.
So it may have taken them 2 years.
They probably, from what, you know, scholars that I've read behind is, they probably left out within two or three days of the birth of Christ because they saw that star. You know, the star was there where the Messiah was born, and so they followed out that star. And the reason they had never seen that. These men were ones that studied the stars, and they had never seen anything like that before. It was so amazing to them. Basically, they were almost the scientists of their day. And it was so amazing that they set out on a trek. 2 years, that's going. It had to be another 2 years coming, and it went another way, is what Scripture says. They went a long way around when they went back. Oh, they went the scenic route when they went back to the house. Any more thoughts on the Messiah's arrival being announced by star? The last one is that the Messiah would receive gifts of treasure. That the Messiah would be given the gifts of treasure. Psalms chapter 2, beginning of verse 10. May the kings of Tarshish and the coast and islands bring tribute. The kings of Sheba and Seba offer gifts. Let all the kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. And it's fulfilled. And again, Jesus was a toddler when the Magi came, when the wise men came. But in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, it says, entering into the house, and remember, where was Jesus born? In a manger, in a stable, in a stall. But where did the Messiah, where did the Magi, wise men, visit him at? In a house. So it seems that they've kindly settled in a little bit there. And it says in Matthew 2:11, entering into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees. Remember, it said, let the kings bow down to him. Falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts. What's the three gifts? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Also, I know the one that I can, only one I can remember now, is that basically it's prophesied that shepherds would know of his coming, that the shepherds would receive the declaration of his birth. But these scriptures we hold fast to as we look towards, you know, they had to look ahead in faith. They weren't, the Old Testament believers aren't saved any differently than we are saved. They are still saved by faith through grace, except they were looking ahead to the promise of the Savior, whereas we also look ahead to his return, but we look back to his sacrificial life, death, and resurrection. Amen? We have an awesome Savior. An awesome Savior. And you know what? We're less than ants under a magnifying glass. I mean, we're just nothing compared to who he is, but yet he values us enough to die. I mean, mind blowing. Any other thoughts before we close? I'm going to ask Brother Gary Bledsoe if he would make his way up here. Don't forget, Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, choir practice. You ain't got to be a member to come to practice and be with the choir. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll be having our regular midweek service, that prop in the clothesline that helps us, supports us in the middle of the week when we start sagging. If there's any prayer needs, just send them to me or let one of the deacons know. Okay, Brother Gary.
Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day that we have had. And as this Lord's Day comes to a close, Lord, we are so very thankful that we have the freedom to gather together, to fellowship, to study your word, to sing praises to you. And Father, we pray that your blessings upon each one here, Lord, and we pray for those that are on a prayer request list. We pray for your healing power to be upon them, the comfort of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, may you strengthen them in every way. And Father, just lead, guide, and direct us in all things that we do and say, till again we can come into your house. And we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Don't forget the